Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a bad hombre. I am your host, Davin Rosemont. I am joined by... I don't even know what that means. I don't know why I wrote that. You know what? It's better than screwing up the intro. Shows that's better than screwing up the intro. Been off for a week. What are you going to do? Live radio, folks. Anyway, I'm Davin Rosemont. That's Joe Curry.
Hi.
There's Pip Helix.
Hi.
We got on the show, back in the saddle, James Alton Thomas will be joining us and telling us about being the first patient for a new cancer protocol.
Mm.
And I think he might also want to touch on Obamacare, which won't be here much longer. But I think he has some opinions about that. I think it affected his life. Mm-hmm. We got a school of fools with some teachers dressing in controversial costumes. Comics in the news as former Green Party candidate Jill Stein takes on comedians. And a female sexual device flies from the stands during a Bills-Patriots game. But since we've joined you, things have changed dramatically in the country.
Yes, they have.
It's a brand new world. I was surprised by the election results. Were you, Pip?
Yes.
Were you, Joe?
Yeah, and I was on the Anthony Cumia show doing the election night.
Nothing like a plug show. Right up the top.
Well, no, but I just wanted to see where I was. And we had all the boards coming in real time. And it was just an amazing thing because it got to be, all right, here we go, because you didn't think Trump was going to win. And then it got to the point where, hold on,
What's
going on here? And then you saw the momentum build and a momentum build. And it was amazing, too, also how the networks had their agenda where one would report a win in a state, and then you would go to another network, and it would be at least 35 minutes before they would report a state win. So you could see how the...
I don't think that's agendas. I just think they have different sources, like different ways of validating results. I don't think there was an agenda behind that.
I'm not sure about that
I think there was, just to keep listenership glued.
So you're saying MSNBC has announced that Hillary Clinton has 270 electoral votes?
No. what I'm saying is just due to the agenda of what you might have, where if Trump won a state where Fox would project that earlier than CNN would.
I'm surprised they would do that, considering the fiasco they had with Karl Rove 4 years ago. Like Mitt Romney won. So even when the other Fox News ad, I was like, no, he's not going to win. But Karl Rove's like, yes, he is. I'm amazed anybody would listen to Karl Rove. But that's interesting. I didn't have that experience. I said all along I don't really buy into polls.
Right.
I said all along, I don't think they're rigged, but I don't take much stock in them.
No.
But I did buy into the media's narrative that she was going to win.
Yeah, so did I.
I bought in.
Yeah.
Didn't happen that way. So my show's at 9:30, and there was already feelings that it was not going according to script for Hill.
Right.
Even at 9:30, so my tummy was not feeling great. Florida was going for Donald. You know, things were supposed to be well in hand by 9:30.
That's exactly the time that I started going, uh-oh.
I checked into the club at 9:15. The Bahamian woman had a panic look, and the other comic who happens to be liberal too had a panic look. I was starting to feel depressed.
Yeah,
I was starting to feel the unthinkable was about to happen. The Bahamians were starting to get nervous, which I never even comprehended that they would be so invested in our results. But they say, you know, whatever goes on in our country kind of goes to them, kind of goes downhill. Mm. I mean, they're not.
It affects the rest of the world
in
ways we don't consider.
The Bahamians were not happy.
Yeah,
they were not. And I'd be walking around as the white guy in the Bahamas, and Bahamians would ask me if I voted for Trump or what do I think of it. Which was, I said, I'm not thrilled. Which was honest and probably prudent, as things would turn out. So I'm starting to feel depressed, but I got a show to do. Fortunately, the audience was very rowdy that night. So I really couldn't, like, you know, mail in jokes and get lost in my thoughts. Sure, you've had those shows, too.
You got it, yeah.
But because they were so rowdy, I had to stay on top of them.
Yeah.
Which was good for me.
Yeah.
Which was really good to lose myself. So I'm watching. So I hang out with the other comedians. So I go to the bar and people are watching and they don't look very happy. Not a lot of Trump supporters, per se, at the Atlantis.
Huh.
So I watched the results with the other comic till about 2 a.m. Couldn't watch in my room because the wife and kid were in there sleeping. And it was very depressing. I was glad I had somebody else to watch with.
Yeah.
But so I stayed up until 2. And, you know, Hillary rents out the Jacob Javits Center for a victory celebration. And it looked more and more like that wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we laughed our ass off.
I'm sure you
did. Over by us, it was, hey, days are here again. Yeah, it was.
Right. Right. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. I was disturbed by Hillary. So Hillary marches her campaign manager, John Podesta, out before they concede.
Yeah.
Right. Now.
Well, let me say my thought.
All right.
And John Podesta, you know, said, listen, we're not going to get the results tonight, tells them to go home, which is fine to send them home. It's 2 a.m. Hillary should have done that herself.
Thank you very thank you very much. And I caught flack about that because I posted and I thought you might have commented on that.
I said she did the wrong thing.
Yeah, she did do the wrong thing.
Yeah, I'm a straight shooter. People like to paint me as one way or the other, but I call it like it is.
And the reason why is people, well, you know, she, you know, the results weren't in, and maybe she'd have, but here's the thing.
She doesn't have to concede, but if people are going to get sent home,
If you've been standing and spending, since I would say on maybe 1 o'clock or whatever at the Javits Center. Well, all right, but even so, let's say 5 hours at the Javits Center supporting this woman. You've been standing there supporting her, passionate about her. The least she could have done is came out and said, look, we're counting the vote. I want to thank everybody for coming out. I want everybody to support. Our views will try. You know, you make a speech to these people that stood there, and people go, well, Trump probably wouldn't have come out. Well, that remains to be seen. However, if I was standing there at a Trump rally and he didn't come out, I would be just as sore.
Yes.
I mean, people defend it, well, you know, it's probably very hard for it. Yeah, I get that. You don't have to give a long speech, just a couple sentences. Go, listen, it's a hard night. Don't know how it's going to go. We still have hope. They're still counting votes. We're not going to find out tonight. Thank you so much for your support. I still feel confident we're going to do this. We're going to have our celebration.
Yeah, and
go home.
And also,
do it like that.
And it might be hard, you know, so it's hard on her. It was also, and you saw the looks on the people's face there, it was hard on them. You, going into it, look, let's not kid each other. You knew it would look, by all accounts, Hillary's going to win. So now you're at the celebration at the Javits Center with a whole bunch of people. It's jovial. She's going to win. We're here at this celebration. And all of a sudden, everything changes. You're devastated. She owes her supporters just the common courtesy to come out and thank them.
Yeah, she messed up.
Yeah, that was a poor choice.
Yeah, I agree.
Really
yeah.
poor.
Well, of course I agree. I just said it.
Funny.
So, I agree with me.
So, Joe, now that the polls were wrong, although they were, most of them were in the margin of error, to be honest with it. Because the states he won, they were pretty close. Mm-hmm. They were within the margin of error. Were the polls rigged, Joe?
The polls weren't rigged, but I basically what my thing was, and I was saying it all the time, was that I called it a closet victory in the simple fact that the people were catching flack for voting for Trump. Okay, and like you know, and it's like people just don't. I want
to
hear.
You know what? I know what you're going to say. I'm going to just say succinctly and get to my point. They say that there was all these people that wanted to vote Trump.
Right.
That wanted to vote Trump, but they didn't, and he had all these people that came out to support. The total numbers he got were in line with Mitt Romney and John McCain. It wasn't like he had this new swell of vote. Maybe different people voted for him, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like there was this whole conversion of new people, of more people voting.
No,
right.
No.
Now, you called me on the carpet about something, and you were right. You were right about this. When we interacted with each other. Trump did get the popular vote, but when I left the studio,
did not get
to go
the popular vote.
Yeah, listen to me.
No, but you said it wrong. I know what you're going
to
say.
I stated to Davin that he did get the popular vote, but I stated it after from the results I saw from the studio the night before. Now, what I did was I checked it. I was wrong. I said to him, I'm wrong. You're right. However, what I did say was he was getting states that he was never expected to get.
That's true. Yeah,
which was amazing.
But I think if the roles were reversed, Trump would be losing his mind if he won the popular vote. Because he said all along he would. But I thought both gave very good speeches. I thought Hillary gave a good speech the day after. I thought Donald gave a good speech the night of. I thought they both gave nice speeches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Donald would have gone this quietly into the night the way Hillary did. That being said, I'm seeing hypocrites from all sides.
Yes.
Because when the Trump fans thought they were going to lose, mm-hmm. they were saying, some of them were saying, well, we might have to take the country back by violence. Donald Trump said there would be a revolt in the street. The Democrats said, no, don't do this. This is wrong. Just accept the votes. Go peacefully. Right. So it's, the roles are reversed now, right. And the Democrats are protesting. Most of them are peaceful, but they're still protesting. Yes. The establishment has accepted it, but the fans are not accepting it. And now the Trump supporters are telling them just accept it and stop complaining. So I see hypocrites on both sides. Yeah. You're all a bunch of liars. You know, yeah. I'm the one who's true to myself. I accept it. You know what? I said it during the primaries when Trump was whining about the game. The game is the game. You know the game going in. It doesn't matter that Hillary got more popular votes. As Joe said, he won states he wasn't supposed to win. That's the game. You just gotta move on with it. We are back. You are listening to The Den. We are joined by James Alton Thomas. Hello, James.
Hello there, Davin.
How are you, pal?
I'm great.
So this was
Joe, great to see you guys.
Hey, it's good to see you, pal.
Yeah, you look terrific.
Well, thank you. Mm. We'll talk about that. Can we talk about the election?
No, we're not going to talk about the election right now. We'll talk about the election on the internet podcast part of the show.
Okay, great.
And people can listen to that. Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about you.
Okay.
Because you have a very interesting
story.
It's all
about me.
It is. Well, for the next 10 minutes it is.
Yes.
No, not so much.
So enjoy it fast.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy these 10 minutes.
Usually about how long it lasts.
So James has been a friend of the show and a mm-hmm. personal friend for a long mm-hmm. time. And James was afflicted with cancer. What type of cancer was it?
Large B-cell lymphoma.
Mm. Wow. What does that mean?
Well, what does that mean? Well, it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so that's a really great thing. That was the preface of what the doctor said when we started. You know, you don't have Hodgkin's, so that's great.
The silver lining.
Exactly. And there's a silver lining in everything, and I think that's what everyone has to remember in every case, in every situation, regardless if it's good or bad, especially bad, there's always a silver lining. And so I had this giant tumor in my stomach, mm-hmm. and it was sort of right at the top of my stomach, and it went on for several months, and they thought it was all sorts of other things, and they kept testing me and testing me and testing me, and it wasn't until I had an endoscopy that the doctor, after the endoscopy, called me into his office, sat me down, and said, you have a giant tumor, you're going to Sloan Kettering, this is the doctor you're going to see. I went to Sloan Kettering to see that doctor. He wasn't practicing, and so they gave me to a different doctor named Matthew Matisar. And Dr. Matisar is the head of the Department of Lymphoma. So at Sloan Kettering, they divide up your cancer dependent on what type it is, and after it's screened and profiled, they take your cancer cells and they put it on a slide, and then they determine what type of cancer it is. And then when they determine that, they give you to that department. That department head takes your information that he has and disseminates it and puts you with the person who he best feels will work with you.
So it's personalized.
To cure you. Yes.
So he's a specialist on that cancer.
He's a specialist on that cancer, and he's a specialist who's gathered a team of doctors together that he knows are the very best in the business of what they do in that particular mm-hmm. field of that type of cancer.
Good.
So
what's the
when they diagnose you finally, they get it right, what's the prognosis?
So the prognosis is you have this, and it's a giant tumor, and based on what we believe, we can cure you.
Wow.
Good. Okay, so the prognosis was good.
The prognosis was good, but I think the prognosis was good based on my personality coming in. And,
really?
You are
a happy guy. You're an upbeat guy.
Your outlook is a lot to it.
Well, you know, it is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, after we sat for 2 hours, he talked to me. And it wasn't until after 2 hours of talking mm-hmm. to me that he shared with me that this is what you have, and based on who you are, you're going to be able to beat this.
Interesting.
And so that in itself was pretty amazing.
But you have a relapse? Because you have...
So this is what happens. So I go in, and I start the treatment. And in the case of the treatment, what's really amazing about Sloan Kettering, it's this phenomenal hospital that is on the precipice of all medical research.
I used to do comedy shows there.
And... And I am sure they appreciated it, because you need to laugh a lot while you're going through the process and not take everything that's happening around you so seriously. And everybody is just so burdened with the seriousness of cancer, because everybody looks at it as a death sentence.
Well, and also when you're there beating cancer is now the focus of your life.
Oh, absolutely.
It's kind of like tunnel vision.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's what you are focused in achieving. And so I go in, and because it is a hospital that specializes in research, they have a boatload of clinical trials going on. And they ask me if I want to participate, and I say yes, because if this is going to advance us and give me a better opportunity to survive, then I'm all for it. So it was a double blind.
These are all experimental. Grants.
So this is a grant that comes in through different departments involving the federal, the state, the national, federal, state, and private. And so all these funds come together, and there's different protocols that are set up. So the first trial that I was set up was for this drug called varanostat. And varanostat is a new drug that they believe can help to reduce the cancer because it's an oral chemotherapy. So it's an oral chemotherapy combined with the EPOC, which is very common for my type of lymphoma. They do the whole thing. I finish it all, done, completed, get my PET scan, you're clear. 3 months go by, and I say to my doctor when I go back, I said, there's not something isn't right. She goes, what do you mean it's not right? I'm like, I'm telling you, it's back. She goes, it's not back. We cured it. You're done. You're full of it. You don't know what you're talking about. I know my body, and I'm telling you, it's back. It's impossible. I don't believe it. I said, can we please just do the scan? She does the scan, comes back 2 days later. She's like, what the hell? It's back. So the first time I had it, they didn't stage it. They didn't want to stage it because my doctor...
What does stage mean?
So staging cancer is like from one to four, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. They tell you the four. It's
four
pretty
is the
serious.
Worst.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Four is the worst. So I had a 96% blockage in my stomach. So at that rate, they considered it stage 4+.
When you
tell a patient their status...
Yeah.
They believe that that changes the outcome of how the patient perceives the option of them surviving.
And you never asked what it was?
I didn't want to ask because that wasn't important
to
me.
I'd have to know.
When the doctor told me that we can cure it, that was all I needed to hear.
Right.
And I think that having the knowledge of knowing what stage it was no purpose. What would be the purpose
of
that?
It might have depressed you. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it puts you in a place that you become more overwhelmed. And I saw people around me who found out their stages. Mm-hmm. And I saw who they were or were becoming. So you go through this whole process of doing what you're doing, and you do all the right things. And then you tell your doctor 3 months later, it's back. The doctor says you're crazy. They do the PET scan. Sure enough, it's back. And the doctor says, holy, I don't know what to do.
Right.
I don't know what to do. So I think, all right, we're going to do whatever we have to do. We did it before. We'll do it again. So second time coming up, there's this new drug coming out, and they just got it approved, and my doctor wanted to use it in coordination with it. And this is sort of where the whole Affordable Care Act, thank goodness it existed. I'm so lucky, because if it didn't, I wouldn't be here. When you have insurance prior to the Affordable Care Act, your insurance company could both cap how much they were willing to pay for your health care. You could reach a certain amount in your plan, and your health care company could say, I don't want to pay anymore because you ain't worth it. And so there you are with any more craziness because, you know,
I don't know Luigi's
how crazy it is. And so what ends up happening is that you are in this place where you don't have health care and can't afford it, and all of a sudden you're going, what do I do? Well, with the Affordable Care Act, that was taken away. So after my first round of cancer, we're already talking $3.2 million to save my life in health care costs.
Wow.
I'm guessing you didn't have that under a mattress at home.
Not under the mattress, and not buried in a tin can underneath the tree out back.
Mayonnaise jar.
So, you know, that's important to know. And, you know, the Affordable Care Act is present there to take care of people who pay into their insurance for the 25 years that I paid into my health care plan for 25 years that I paid into that all of a sudden my insurance company decides that they're not going to hold up their end of the bargain just didn't seem entirely fair. So going into this next round, Obamacare, as some people refer to it as, but it's the Affordable Care Act, really presented the opportunity for me to be exposed to another clinical trial. And this was the clinical trial using imbrutinib. And imbrutinib in itself is this new amazing drug that's out, and they're finding that with lymphoma, it has an 85% oral chemotherapy by itself success rate of eradicating lymphoma.
Wow.
So that was pretty amazing and pretty fantastic. So I get on this drug. It's $138,000 a year for this drug if you were to take it, and that's for a 30-day supply. Wow. That's what they consider a year supply, 30 days.
Wow.
$138,000.
Well, they assume they're gonna cure it in the 30 days.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't – takes a little longer than that to cure it.
Oh, really?
So this –
so it's more than 138,000.
Yeah. So this particular drug on this imbrutinib that I was on, with the new rice therapy that they put me on, along with a stem cell transplant that I was going to be scheduled for. So I do the rice therapy, I do the imbrutinib, it comes up time for me to do my stem cell transplant, and whatever happened with the imbrutinib as a side effect reduced my body's ability to produce platelets and to produce the stem cells required for me to harvest my own to be able to
have
them.
You had to have a certain count number.
Correct. And so what ended up happening is that the imbrutinib lowered my platelet count. I was walking around with a platelet count of around 6,000.
That's not good?
No, not at all.
What should a healthy person have?
Healthy is 185,000.
Mm. Wow.
Is an average platelet.
And you were walking
count.
Around living your life.
Living my life with 6,000 platelets. That means if I would have fallen down and if I would have gotten cut, if anything would have happened, I would have pretty much bled out. Pretty quickly. So it was pretty crazy. So I do that whole trial and we finished that process. We're getting ready to do my stem cell. They can't harvest my stem cells. They decide that they're going to do in the process this idea of using radiation therapy in a new technique of making sure that rather than doing an isotope tomo radiation centralized to the tumor itself, they decided they were going to do sort of a Star Wars effect and hit it from different angles at a lower dosage at a longer period of time for more often and increasing the length of time. So what was happening is rather than getting high dosage at a short period of time, I was getting a shorter dosage over a longer period of time.
What's a longer period of time in the procedure?
20 minutes in radiation. Mm-hmm. So the machine has to go around you and it's sort of like Star Wars and it's shooting the beams at you, which I unfortunately, you can't see them. I kind of was hoping it was going to be like a little laser light show that was going to go on. You were going to be able to see that thing happening.
Not the 4th of July.
Music in the background, like a little
disco.
Disco show.
Yeah, the
like
village people
are
going to saunter in.
No, exactly. But no, that didn't happen.
An Indian.
So it just exactly.
It's fun to
And so, so we did that whole thing, and then we finished with that. And I ended up not getting the stem cell transplant because we couldn't do it for the fact that my body wouldn't cooperate. And that is what makes me a new patient on the foreground of clinical research. Never before have they done the protocol of rice treatment with the imbrutinib, with radiation, and completely foregoing the stem cell transplant, which was an absolute mandatory thing for them to do. They eradicated that, didn't do that part, and I still, as of the 23rd of October of this year, am now 3 months completely cancer-free.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so great.
Right
3 months now.
Well, that's
I think
great.
There's two takeaways. Well, obviously, there's several. First, thank goodness James is healthy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One, besides that, obviously, is we need to donate to science. We can't stop cutting federal aid for
absolutely
science. Science
not.
Is a wonderful thing. And Trump's really going to have to think about this Affordable Care Act.
Well, the thing that I want to say about that, the Affordable Care Act is great because one of the things that he did say in the last couple of days is that that is an element of the Affordable Care Act that he thinks is really important to maintain.
I think Donald Trump is going to find out there's a lot of things that he wants
exactly.
to keep in there. I don't think he's going to have to talk to Congress and go, we can't take away a lot of this stuff. And in order to provide that stuff, rates are going to go up. They got to figure out some things. They got to go in there and take out the protection of Big Pharma. That's in there where Big Pharma
right,
can charge
right.
whatever they want.
Tort exactly. reform is also another big...
But that's not part of this.
But still, it is a day in and day out cost. Also, streamlining everything. I've always said I'm not big on Obamacare because I don't want the government... It's a tricky thing. I don't want the government running it. I want the government regulating it. You know what I'm saying? Because if you get
it's
sick...
It's funny we say that about that portion of the health care, but we don't say that about Medicaid or Medicare.
It's a very...
And it's sort of, that's managed by the government and run and everything.
Yeah, because
that's not a problem.
But it's but it still is.
65.
The government is regulating it. The private insurance companies are still running it. Yeah. You're still dealing with Cigna or whoever
right.
your carriers.
Yeah.
It's regulated. That's what Obamacare put in there. Regulations. Mm-hmm. And you know, for some people, they get government health insurance. I get it through a company, so it doesn't.
So
my
what
company,
happens
it doesn't
in
affect me.
With for the insurance companies? It seems that it comes out of a different kitty for them,
right?
So because it comes out of a different kitty, it's okay. You know, the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that people pay into, like me and you and Davin, that aren't retired,
mm-hmm.
That kitty is a different kitty than the federal government kitty that we all pay into all of our lives with that FICA or that Medicare tax that we get taken out of our check
right.
that pays for the bigger picture.
It's a very, yeah.
So if you're over 65, the managed health care, you know, where the government's involved is okay, but if you're under 65, it's a bad thing.
You know what? Let's talk
yeah.
about that a little bit more on the internet portion of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into a little bit more on the Obamacare, but there's certainly things to think about. And thank goodness you're doing well. James is going to stay with us for the rest of the
Good.
Show. When we come back, possibly poor choices that a principal and a teacher made for Halloween. We'll let you guys decide. Don't go anywhere. We're back. You're listening to Davin's Den. James is hanging out with Joe and Pip and I for the duration of the show. We're going to switch it up. That was sciencey and some good judgment by the doctors in putting James in the right place and
mm-hmm.
making good decisions that benefit. We don't all make good decisions, though. And that's why we have a segment called School of Fools. I'm going to find that and then erase this little pause here. Play the clip.
New this morning, a Virginia school secretary and principal are now being reprimanded because of their choice of Halloween costumes. They posted this picture right here on the school's website. In it, you see the principal at Robert E. Lee High School in Stanton dressed as Donald Trump, the school secretary dressed as Hillary Clinton, but in an orange prison, orange prison jumpsuit. Some parents criticized them for the politically charged costumes. Stanton's school superintendent released a statement saying the two used poor judgment, and they told them to remove the picture from the school's website.
I don't know. I kind of think if you're in the middle of a heated presidential campaign, we don't need teachers and principals and authority figures making them so that we all know what they think.
Well, yeah, right. If you wanted to dress like Trump, that's fine. If you wanted to dress like
now we all can.
Funny, but if you want to, if you're dressing like Hillary, if you're wearing a pantsuit,
yeah.
you're making a social commentary.
That's what she wears.
Hear me out. If you're wearing an orange jumpsuit,
yeah.
now you're making a statement.
Right.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the difference.
And making a very pointed and biased statement.
I don't think you
yes,
could have done one
absolutely.
Without, I don't think you could have just done Donald or just Hillary. I think Joe hit it right on the head. You could do both, but it can't be biased. Like, you can't have Donald with, like, really bad hair. Like, besides the normal really bad hair. But, like it's got to be
right.
accurate.
Because it's
right.
comical.
No, but if you're going to do the next possible president of the United States, it should be respectful.
Absolutely,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
especially with
kids. And I don't think a white principal should do Obama in blackface either. I don't.
Funny.
I wasn't trying to be funny. I think you have to be if you're going to do these people, and you know, at the time, two potential presidents of the United States, you got to be respectful.
Yeah,
the Hillary in the jumpsuit.
That was a very stupid decision.
That's why it's in this segment. These aren't good decisions,
but
Joe.
It's
not School of Erudite.
School of Rhodes Scholars. Let's talk about wonderful accomplishments.
What's going on at Oxford today? No,
but you know, what a stupid decision. What are you thinking?
Now, they did not get fired, but teachers have gotten fired for having provocative pictures of themselves on their own personal Facebook page.
Right.
Teachers have lost jobs. To me, this is much worse. They're posting on the school website. They're trying to make a statement. I kind of feel like if you're going to fire Cindy the substitute for looking a little slutty with like a margarita in her hand on her own personal Facebook page, you should almost have to fire these people.
You know,
I don't think either should be fired.
I don't think so either.
Right.
But if you're gonna fire teachers for that,
but one is somebody that dresses slutty. It's a moral thing that kids could see on this.
It's their own personal Facebook page. But it shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
This is on the school website.
Yeah.
This, they wanted everybody to see them
walking around in the halls.
Yeah. It's inappropriate. I will say this, since we spoke about the election, my daughter for some reason was very upset that Donald Trump won. Now, obviously, I'm not pro-Trump.
Right.
But I never spoke negatively about him around her.
Really?
Yeah. No, I kept my politics. My daughter doesn't need to know my politics.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? She'll make her own decision because he could become president. And he did.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to put a negative connotation. But she came home with this negative connotation. I'm bothered that maybe they're picking this up in school.
They are. My friend's daughter was very, very upset over the decision.
Now, I think part of it's the parents, because we saw this video post-Trump victory in a cafeteria. This went viral. Mm-hmm. All these kids in the cafeteria were at a Latino kid, were chanting, "Build that wall, build that wall."
Right.
There's an issue. James, do you remember growing up, like the heated politics seeping into your elementary school?
Never.
No. Never. No.
Because we have more media. We have Facebook. We have a lot more outlets where it can seep in.
Well, we also have teachers making bad decisions. We got more decisions. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den. James is hanging out with us. So we got some comics in the news. Comics in the news with somebody who's not going to be in the news much longer, Jill Stein.
Poor girl.
Well, you know what? No, she deserves what she got.
She does.
Yes.
She ruined our Hillary party.
Completely.
Yeah.
Stupid Jill Stein. But anyway, we'll do some comics in the news because she went after a comic because that's really what you want to focus on when you're losing.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Pip, you want to sum up what happened?
Yeah, well, Jill Stein was pretty annoyed with I am blanking on his name, John Oliver, and his show because they were making fun of her and her platform that they could whittle down student debt and the. They had several different ways of trying to do this. And I forget the term for the which
quantitative easing.
Thank you. I cannot keep that in my brain.
Quantitative easing. It's when you want to take a nap, but you don't know for how long. So you weigh out your options. I'm going to do some quantitative easing.
I thought it was a guy putting the moves on the girl, but real slow.
That's quantitative Cosby-ing.
Oh,
I see.
That. That's where I got confused. Okay. But she was focusing on this show instead of focusing on her campaign. Wise move.
Well, what happened? What did John Oliver do that upset her so?
Well, he took one of the bits that one of her comments.
They asked her. They interviewed people of the staff because her big thing was working on student debt.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to focus on student debt, and they pretty much blew it out of the water. You know, they kind of made fun of it.
Yeah, and they took one of her comments, and they said her staff said that they took it out of context and made it look like something that she didn't really say to try to make her look foolish.
And she claimed that her unsolicited donations dropped 60% the next day.
Yeah, from like $7,000 to $8,000 to down to like $3,000.
John Oliver has a church. She can ask for a donation.
There you go.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen because she said he's a millionaire, yet proclaims bailing out students in debt as a wholly unworkable plan, plus his employer, Time Warner, is among Hillary's top 10 donors.
I mean, that is a pretty damning comment to say, you know, because whenever you have somebody who's in the media and you know that their parent company is acting as a gatekeeper and they already have a dog in the race, you do have to stop and wonder, does that have anything to do with what they're allowed to say?
Right, and the narrative on it was that she didn't understand the implication of her policies.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore was not a serious candidate.
But her argument against John Oliver was that he's so influential and pretty much they shouldn't be able to go unchecked. They should have to stick to the facts like a Fox News.
Well, so it's
or an MSNBC.
Or, you know,
a CNN.
Yeah. But, you know, it was.
That's her argument.
I know. But it's no. But also.
No, what? No, they shouldn't. No, we shouldn't. Or?
They shouldn't. But what the problem is, too, is a lot of people get their news from these shows. Since Jon Stewart had The Daily Show, most of the people were getting their news.
Not most, a large percentage.
A lot of percentage were getting their news.
So do we have a response? Do they have a responsibility? I mean, that's what she's saying. Hey, Mr. Comedian Man, doing a show that's called satire, you have to be factual.
It's very much like the argument people were making about Facebook, saying, can you clamp down somehow on the facts, quote-unquote, and the memes that are going around placed as
no.
facts?
No. No, they can't, because then we'll have nothing to fight about.
You know, I mean, like, and all these fake satire sites that come out and come up
no,
with
they
these
call
facts
that Breitbart.
And figures. Right, right. And they quote facts and figures and everybody throws them around on Facebook when they're not researched and they are partisan and a lot of times completely false.
She's not the first one, though.
No.
I mean, Donald Trump a couple weeks ago went after a Saturday Night Live.
You're right.
I mean, shouldn't these presidential candidates be worrying about something more important?
Yeah, than how they're being portrayed.
It's under the guise of farce. Under the guise of farce, you should have at least common sense that people will realize that it's farce. Under that, whether they do or not,
James is shaking his head, which makes great radio.
People don't get that. We live in a world today where people don't get that sarcasm has become such a prevalent part of our society that when it's actually delivered as farce, people don't get it. They're like taking it as literal truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they're receiving it
is it a summation of an assessment of the society, or should be that be something that should made
no,
law?
It's what I've been saying. It's what I've been saying. If you listen to the show for years, we're getting stupider.
Yeah.
People
yes.
can't understand.
Yeah. People don't
it's
understand. People don't get that it's a joke. They
so
don't understand. They don't
right.
watch
now,
enough British television, really.
Really?
Should a
British
party be liable for that?
Really
should a party be liable for that? That's the key thing.
To understand.
Yes.
Right?
I think from now on, we just need to have in big, bright, shiny letters before all these shows. These are political opinions. Not everything will be factual. You own Google.
There is comedy here.
Yes, warning, comedy will be used.
All right. Well, speaking of comedy, it just kind of got thrown right in our direction. We'll explain. Don't go anywhere. So now we're going to mix it up a little bit. I mean, we've talked about some heavy issues. We've talked about the election. We've talked about cancer. We've talked about dumb teachers. We've talked about dumb Jill Stein. Now we're going to talk about something hilarious. What do you expect to see when you go to a football game?
Players.
Yeah. If it's a Jets game, failure.
The gay guy likes to see the guys.
I can't even say anything to that.
Wait, you talked over him.
I said the gay guy likes to see them in the tight pants.
That's good, too. Oh, well, this is kind of up your alley. So. Oh, that was unintentional.
I was like.
Sometimes I'm like.
You tell.
I'm funniest when I don't try.
No. And the chronological age of the whole segment just
exactly.
went down.
Rule 12.
So there's a Patriots-Bills game.
Right.
And a Patriot player, a Patriot wide receiver, catches the football and gets tackled. And out from the air, end over end, a beautiful, shiny, pink dildo. flops by the wide receiver. And I do say flops because it didn't land gracefully, and it looked like it had a life of its own. It just kind of flopped there by the football players. Which makes this the best thing to ever happen at a football game.
what was that, a call on the play?
People must have thought it was Tom Brady bobblehead day.
Oh, that's good. And I'm not going to disagree. But it doesn't ask the question, what type of message are you trying to send when you hurl a dildo onto the field?
I don't know.
I know what happens when you throw, like, a ball back after a home run in baseball from the opposing team.
Yeah.
I know, unfortunately, what it means like when you try to throw batteries at players or snowballs. You're trying to hurt them.
Right, right.
Now, this could hurt, but everybody's dressed, so the chances are it's not going to smoke.
But who was this person that was packing for the game, brings all this stuff? All right, here's a D, here's a fence, I'll bring this, here's some paint, here's a phallic tool.
Yeah, you went from Home Depot to the Pink Pussycat. I didn't even know where you were going with that.
Yeah, I don't know what the message was supposed to be. That was actually really confusing.
Is it like F these guys? I don't know. We're going to take it up the buddy. I don't know.
Maybe they're just saying dildos are funny. Yeah.
Well, they are.
I know. But, like, who? Yeah.
Who actually picked it up?
Well, funny you should ask. Because that was a quandary. Because you have this referee, and you don't know where the dildo's been.
Exactly.
So he's kind of kicking the dildo off the field. And I can't blame. Would you want to pick up a random dildo?
Not if I didn't know where it came from.
Well,
where
that's
it
why
been.
It's a random
exactly.
dildo, James.
Exactly.
I didn't ask if it was from a loved one. I didn't ask if it was lying around the house like socks.
Or like recently from a loved one.
Will you clean up your socks and your dildos? I'm tired of cleaning up after you. No.
You keep these things laying around all the time.
I stubbed mine. Well, you know what I stubbed on it. No, I mean, you don't know where this came from. It's in the middle of a football. Now it's a shame it wasn't natural grass because I would have liked to see a grass stain on it.
Funny.
Or the grass sticking to it.
You just see the ref start picking grass out of his mouth.
You see the guy in the booth there, just short of first down by 7 inches.
Well, if it was a yard, it's a whole different
story. It wouldn't have been a pink one.
Would you say it was a fourth and long?
Yeah.
No, but yeah, so like...
Was it in the end zone? That's really
no. It was like around the five. Oh, well, if it was the Jets, they wouldn't score with it. I'll tell you that much. all the comedy. It's like we put this here, but we didn't because we didn't sneak it into the show. But yeah, so the referee kicks it. Pip, you've spoken about how you smuggle things into arenas. How do you smuggle the dildo in?
I think that the best way to smuggle anything into any place now. I can't believe I'm giving away my secret here.
That's all right. We're an educational show.
Disguise it as a feminine hygiene product. Nobody wants to look through that in your purse.
So what are you going
to
do? Like glue tampons to it?
No, I'm just thinking like get a tampon box and shove it in there.
Well, I mean, they're both for the box, but I don't think that's going to work.
But you know what you could do? You could wrap it in foil and it goes, what's that? It's my lunch. I brought a hot dog and 2 meatballs. You know, you bring that.
Hey, you want a bite?
No. Come on, this is great between buns.
But I mean, how do you sneak that in? Unless you sneak it in the person.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No.
Well, I've seen some videos. It could.
Well, people look very, very guilty when they're smiling that wide.
I mean, do you think somebody smuggled it inside of them?
No, I think that maybe they put it inside their jacket or
back
you know,
of their pants.
Maybe.
Calm down, James.
Oh, sweet mystery.
I love this game.
Now, where that landed, I mean, how do you had to grab it to get a good throw on it?
Well, it's theirs. They don't mind grabbing it.
Well, yeah, you know, but it's there. You know, because
did it
like
have a tight spiral?
Depending on how you would throw it, because the way if you grabbed it at a certain angle, now you got weight at the top.
I think if you grab, it by the nuts, it's going end over end.
I would, yeah, I would say if you're going to throw it, you got to grab it. Opposite,
I think your fake veins are working as you're stitching. In that case, like how you would grab a football. I think that's how you do it with your thumb. I guess by the testes. I guess you just rear. But can you imagine you sit next to this guy and all of a sudden he whips out a pink phallus Dallas. Yeah. What? Get a load of this.
Snack time? What are you doing?
You know, he was saying we were number one before, and now I know what he was using.
I'm going to get us on national TV. Yeah.
That's not a foam finger.
I am not high-fiving that guy anymore. It could have been a girl. It could have been a girl that threw it.
It could have been. Who knows why she had it with her. I am just wondering, now is this going to open up this whole problem of people throwing all kinds of things onto the field?
Well, we'll have to
that
ponder.
Could be a problem.
We'll have to ponder that another time.
Okay.
James, what would you like to tell the folks about?
Well, let's see. Goodness. You can order pies online.
We're not talking about the football story anymore. Where can they order pies online?
On our website for soonsorchards.com.
Soonsorchards.com. Mm,
yes.
Good apples, good pies. Mm. Joe?
I will be behind the keyboards all week long, almost all week long right after the holiday. Friday night, the night after Thanksgiving, I will be with Fragile Sky playing at Mexicali Live.
Sounds like a liberal after the Hillary loss.
Yeah, right?
Fragile Sky.
And we'll be playing Teaneck, New Jersey, the night after Thanksgiving. And that Saturday, I will be back in Jersey playing with Sexy Susan at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey. Check out my Facebook page, Joe Curry on Facebook. I'll have all the information there.
Dingbats, or as the liberals call them, middle of the nation. Saturday, November 26th, I'll be in Poughkeepsie, New York at Carmine's Comedy Club. For tickets, call 845-464-1572. You can get the full unedited show by going to davinsden.com. You can listen to old shows at davinsden.com. Follow us on Twitter at Davin's Den. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way.